Ashwapati is face to face with the mother of all Godheads, who, mediatrix, binds earth to the Supreme. The enigma seized that rules our nature's night, the covering nations, was unmasked and slain with the appearance of this mediatrix, mediator, who joins earth to the Supreme. The enigma, that is the paradox between that knowledge and ignorancia, the light above and the darkness below, that paradox ceased to be. All along, that has characterized nature's night, periods of obscurity. The covering nations, the nations in conscience, which was covering the whole nature, was unmasked and slain, eliminated. Its mind of error was stripped off from things. As long as this nations was there, everything had been infected with error. The mind of error, which is inalienable from nations, that is now stripped off, removed, and the dull moods of its perverting will. Nations has its own tamasic will, which perverts, changes the values of things. That the dull moves, lethargic movements of that will, they were also stripped off, illumined by her all-seeing identity. All-seeing identity of the mother of all Godheads. When she is there, that knowledge of identity, identification, is common. And in the light of that knowledge, identity, knowledge and ignorance could strive no more. That is how the enigma ceases to be, because the opposition between knowledge and ignorance is no more there. No longer could the Titan opposites are knowledge at one end and ignorance at the other, antagonist poles of the world's artifice, two opposite poles of the magic or the skill of creation in the world, they could no longer impose the illusion of their twofold screen. Knowledge by its brightness is a screen by itself. When it is unitive knowledge, when it excludes knowledge of the multiplicity, similarly, ignorance has its own screen. Now these screens, the poet says, are not permanent screens, but illusive. Once you have the right knowledge or the right consciousness, the curtains, the screens are no longer there. They could no longer impose the illusion of that twofold screen, throwing their figures between us and her. These antagonist poles could not any longer throw their movements, standing between us here and her above. The wisdom was near, disguised by its own works, the all-reconciling wisdom came near, but it was concealed by its own works, of which the darkened ignorance is the robe. Of this wisdom, our darkened ignorance is, as it were, a sheath, a coat, a robe. Pardon? Darkened universe. Yeah. What did I say? Ah, I see. Thank you. Of which the darkened universe is the robe. That is to say, the universe in its present state as it is experienced by us is not the full reality. It is only a robe of knowledge, of wisdom, of a consciousness. No more existence seemed a nameless form. Some philosophies and theologies look upon our existence as a fall which has no purpose. But with the approach of this wisdom, existence no more seemed a fall that was aimless. And if this existence is really a fall, then extinction is the only way of release. So the poet says, since the existence is not a fall any longer, extinction was no more the sole release. The hidden word was found, capital word, the potent word, the long sought clue to the problem. Revealed was the meaning of our spirit's birth, why God came down and took birth on earth. Why the spirit at all came and manifested here. When she was seen, all this was revealed. Revealed was the meaning of our spirit's birth, condemned to an imperfect body and mind. The spirit is not only taking birth, but it is condemned to live in an imperfect body and mind, in the inconscience of material things and the indignity of mortal life. That which is immortal, that which is eternal, is obliged to stay in the body and mind which are imperfect, transient, and live in the inconscience that is inalienable from material things. That is an indignity, that is an insult to that which is immortal. A heart was felt in the spaces wide and bare. Ashwapati feels in those wide and bare new spaces a heart. Capital, to show that it was not the human heart, but something supernormal. A burning love from white spiritual fount. White always indicates purity, spiritual forms, not material forms. Annul the sorrow of the ignorant depths. This heart and this burning love cancel the sorrow of the ignorant depths, profound depths. Suffering was lost in her immortal smile. In the immortal smile of the Mother of Gods, all suffering was forgotten, was lost. A life from beyond grew conqueror here of death. With her advent, a new life approaches, conquering death that is characteristic of this universe. To err no more was natural to mind. In our state of ignorance, it is natural to the mind to make mistakes, to make errors. But now, it was no more natural. It was no more natural for the mind to commit errors. Wrong could not come where all was light and love. Wrong comes because there is obscurity, there is shadow, and there is division. Where there is light, where there is love that unites, only right can come, and wrong cannot. And he describes further the Divine Mother's appearance, his experience of the Mother of Gods and powers. He says, the formless and the formed were joined in a paradox, because if form is there, there can't be formlessness. But somehow, by some mysterious means, the both formlessness and formfulness simultaneously exist in her. Immensity was exceeded by a look. Immensity, the wide spaces. There was still something higher. By a look, her single look towered over all the immensities of spaces. A face revealed the crowded infinite, the multiple infinite, the opulence of the infinite was all packed in that single face. Incarnating inexpressibly in her limbs, the boundless joy the blind world forces seek. Our blind world forces always seek for joy, and a joy that never ends, an endless joy. That joy is incarnated, embodied in an indefinable way in her limbs. With the result that her body of beauty mooned the seas of bliss. He uses the word moon as a verb here. That is, the whole thing, whole her whole entire body looked like a moon responding to the waves and seas of bliss. And these are very famous lines. At the head she stands of birth and toil and fate. Birth and toil and fate characterize our world, universe. And at the head of all she stands. That is, she is not aloof. She is not beyond. She is at the head, means she presides over it. She governs those movements. At the head she stands of birth and toil and fate. In the slow round circles turn to her call. These fate, toil and birth, they round slowly and slowly they go round. But they turn, they respond, they obey to her call. Alone, her hands can change time's dragon base. Dragon, vast, infinite. The foundations, the endless, limitless foundations of time. Basics of time, only her hands can change. Otherwise, time is insurmountable. Time cannot be challenged. Time rules supreme. But her hands alone can change time's dragon base. Hers is the mystery. The night conceals. She herself is a mystery. She embodies a mystery. And the night, the obscure periods of the universe, they conceal her mystery. That is, the appearance of night is only an appearance. The spirit's alchemist energy is her. Spirit has a magical energy. It transforms, it transmutes, whatever it touches. Now that energy of the spirit, alchemist in character, is hers. She is the golden bridge. The bridge between earth and the supreme. Because she is there, the mediatrix, the earth can hope to join the supreme. And when we say earth, the creatures of earth, the beings of earth, she is the golden bridge, the wonderful fire. She is not the material fire which can be extinguished, but a wonderful fire. Wonderful, it is an echo of the Vedic expression Adbhuta. The divine reality, the divine Purusha is described there as Adbhuta. Fire aspect. And that is what he says here. She is the golden bridge, the wonderful fire, the luminous heart of the unknown is she, beyond the known, looming over all that is known, there is much that is unknown. And the luminous heart, the luminous core of all that immense unknown is she. She is the force that achieves everything. The inevitable world, word here is expression, manifestation, inevitable. There is no alternative. There is no other choice. It has to be that. The magnet of our difficult ascent. We are all involved in a movement of ascension, and it is not very smooth. It is very difficult. But we ascend because there is a mighty magnet there which goes on pulling us up, which goes on drawing us upwards. And she is that. She is the force, the inevitable world, the magnet of our difficult ascent, the sun from which we kindle all our suns. She is the sun, supreme sun, from which each world kindles its own sun. Each individual kindles his own light, but she is that supreme light, source of light, which is the sun. The light that leans from the unrealized vasts. There are vasts and immensitudes which are not plumbed by us, which are not yet realized. But from there is a light that leans towards us, showing us the way, pointing to us the direction. The joy that beckons from the impossible, what appears to be impossible, that calls us. And the medium of call is through the joy it emanates. The might of all that never yet came down. There are many things that have not yet come down. Only a fraction, a fragment of what is has manifested. And the power, the strength, the might of all that is still to come down is she. All nature dumbly calls to her alone. All nature, of which we are parts, dumbly, inarticulately, it has no expression. Nature has not yet evolved speech. It is only at the human level that the speech has come. So till then, he says, all nature dumbly calls to her alone. Why? What does she call for? To heal with her feet the aching throb of life. Everyone's life, there is an ache. There is a vibration. There is a throb of pain, ache, which is healed by the touch of her feet. So, through each individual, in the whole universe, the world, nature dumbly calls to her alone to heal with her feet the aching throb of life and break the seals on the dim soul of man. There are many seals which cover up the soul of man, which keep him tied down, and those seals are broken only by her, her force, her might. And that is why nature calls to her to heal with her feet the aching throb of life and break the seals in the dim soul of man and kindle her fire in the closed heart of things. In the heart of things, in the bosom of everything, things are closed, shut. That is why there is suffering and misery and division. But she can kindle, light up a fire that will burn up the obscurities and flame up. And she is called to kindle her fire in the closed heart of things. And when she does that, the poet makes an observation: all here shall be one day her sweetness home. All will be sweet. All will be the abode, the home of her sweetness. All contraries prepare her harmony. All that appears to us to be contrary, opposites, all these are there preparing for that moment of harmony. Towards her our knowledge climbs, our imperfect knowledge climbs towards her integral knowledge. Our passion gropes. Gropes means moves without direction, searching for direction. Our desires, our passions, our intensities, in her miraculous rapture we shall dwell. When she heals, breaks the seals, establishes her sweetness, we shall dwell in her miraculous rapture. Her clasp will turn to ecstasy our pain. Her clasp, her grasp, her hand holding us will turn in a moment all our pain into ecstasy. Ecstasy is the acme of bliss. Her single clasp is enough to completely turn pain into bliss, into ecstasy. Our self shall be one self with all through her. Mark, our self cannot be one with other selves by itself as things are. It is only when our self is joined to her that through her we can realize our unity, our oneness with all the rest. In her confirmed, because transformed in her, our life will be transmuted, transformed in her nature, and thereby get confirmed in her status. And such a life that ours will be shall find in its fulfilled response above, for its seeking, for its aspiration, there will be a fulfilling response beyond, above. And in that response, our life shall find the boundless hushed beatitude. The fulfillment will be of double nature. Above, boundless hushed beatitude. Silent, infinite, unlimited beatitude. Tranquil ecstasy. Below, the wonder, the embrace divine. All will be realized to be divine, and all will be coming to our embrace, and we will be embracing God in the world, as the world. So above will be the boundless hushed beatitude, and below, the wonder of the embrace divine. Not enough to perceive the divine, but it is essential to embrace the divine. Lose ourselves in the divine that is present. This known as in a thunder flash of God. All this is going to happen. And this knowledge, this revelation comes to him, to Ashwapati, as in a thunder flash of God. The rapture of things eternal filled his limbs. The moment that perception, that revelation is given to him, his limbs are filled with the rapture of the eternal things. His senses are overpowered, overwhelmed, and they are under a spell of amazement. His spirit was caught in an intolerant flame. The flame of her love, the flame of her consciousness was intolerant. It wouldn't allow anything else to survive. It will swallow up everything. So he says, his spirit was caught in an intolerant flame. Once she is seen, his heart acknowledged only her. His heart will not accept anything else. It is impossible. Once she is seen, you have no alternative but to accept. And nothing else is real to you. So he says, once seen, his heart acknowledged only her. Only a hunger of infinite bliss was left. There is a deep hunger which is never satisfied for that infinite bliss. All aims in her were lost. He had no longer any aim. All aims are extinguished in her. First they were lost and then found in her. That is, the first moment is losing oneself. Second is refinding, reborn in the texture of her consciousness. All aims in her were lost, then found in her. He found his aims reborn in her. Substance. His base was gathered, his foundation, his base was gathered into one pointing spire. That is intense aspiration. The whole of him, including his inconscience and whatever, all that is massed and gathered up into one pointing spire. It is a sharp pointing, like an ascending something, an ascending stair. His base was gathered into one pointing spire.